Behold, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the infant in my womb leaped for joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A rare sign was seen in the heavens early today when the five planets which had been aligning throughout the month of June were joined in their cosmic parade by the moon. The liturgical year, with its interplay of the rotating feasts of the temporal and sanctoral calendars, is itself a sort of divine constellation. In the liturgical cycle today, there is also a rare alignment. The Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus this year falls on June 24th, which is also the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, the precursor of the Lord. The liturgical observance of his feast will thus be postponed until tomorrow, which is fitting for the last and greatest of the prophets, who said of his divine kinsman, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Today, as we observe the conjunction of the feasts of the Merciful Heart of Jesus and the Nativity of the Forerunner, on this day, chosen by divine providence, our nation has made a first step towards healing. I am speaking of the Supreme Court decision handed down this morning, finally overturning the Roe v. Wade ruling. Who can doubt the power of divine providence when we recall that the image of the human heart has always played a prominent role in pro-life witness? We all know the line, "Abortion stops a beating heart." And so today we remember that Jesus Christ also has a human heart, and that he too once had a baby's heart. As another sign of divine providence, the liturgy has always applied these words of the prophet Jeremiah to John the Baptist. "Before I formed thee in the womb of thy mother, I knew thee." This is a verse which every pro-lifer has engraved into his conscience. St. John was sanctified in his mother's womb when he came into contact with the pulsing of the Sacred Heart in Mary's womb a few feet away. It is safe to say that John the Baptist is not the only baby leaping for joy today. The Supreme Court decision this morning, however, is a beginning, not an end. This decision finally corrects a grave error made 50 years ago, but it does not mean that abortion will now be illegal in all 50 states. Still less does it mean that the culture of death will be curtailed in the other fronts of the war it is waging. But at least it is a beginning. It is a first step towards correcting the gravest abomination, the greatest shame in our nation. Sometimes sinners are overcome with God's grace all at once and make a dramatic conversion. Other times, though, their conscience only slowly comes out of its torpor bit by bit. We still have a long way to go. God is giving us another chance. But for that, we must cooperate with the grace of this moment. We are all aware that abortion is the human rights issue of our time. Since this is a point all men of goodwill are capable of understanding, it makes sense that in our public rhetoric we emphasize this fact. This is not just a Catholic issue. It's the most basic point of the natural law. But if we were to look at this evil only from the standpoint of rights, we would be missing an even larger aspect of this evil, which is the spiritual and supernatural aspect. Abortion, like all willful murder, is evil because it usurps God's sovereign rights over life and death. And then, even when we come to the human victims, the deepest damage is also spiritual. Abortion sends millions of babies into eternity without the saving waters of baptism. Abortion, moreover, is not only a crime, but a sin. A sin that cries out to heaven for vengeance. Our civilization once understood that to do evil is always worse than to suffer evil. since, as St. Thomas Aquinas teaches, the good of the grace of one soul is greater than the natural good of the whole universe. Those who have abortions, perform abortions, and encourage abortions are also victims, even if they do not know it, because in slaying the innocent, they slay their own souls as well. Can we even begin to imagine the spiritual implications of abortion for any society which comes to accept such an evil? The Sacred Heart has been waiting patiently for the conversion of our nation. A civilization built on sand cannot last. Our fight to end abortion, therefore, must go together with our desire to propagate the Catholic faith. Abortion is not an isolated issue. Human life is precious because man is created in the image of God. That is why when we speak of human life, we use the word procreation, a word which includes creation. Only God can create. And when a man and a woman contribute the raw material for a new human body, God does what only God can do. He creates. He creates out of nothing a new soul made in his image. Therefore, procreation is not a mere biological fact, but an integral part of God's larger plan for marriage, family, and society. Only our Catholic faith is the sure bulwark of the sanctity of human life, because only the Church teaches the full truth about human nature created in the image of God. Opposition to abortion is undermined if we accept contraception, divorce, and the LGBT agenda. Everything goes together. When the Roman Empire finally abandoned the practice of abortion and these other evils, it was because the empire had become Catholic. For the Sacred Heart to be enthroned again as king over our whole society, that is our goal. We began by speaking of signs in the heavens. The book of Revelation also presents to us such a sign. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. And there was seen another sign in heaven, a great red dragon. The dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered, so that when she should be delivered, he might devour her son. The devil's war against women and their children is ultimately a stage in his war against Jesus and Mary. Our Lord describes the devil this way. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he stood not in the truth because truth is not in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof. So let us not be surprised by the lies of the abortion cartel, and let us not hesitate to call them out. You can be sure that the forces of hell are not asleep, and they will be spewing lies like never before. Therefore, we must absolutely reject cowardly slogans like the one that says, when it comes to tricky questions like abortion, reasonable people can disagree. That is absolutely false. Reasonable people can disagree about vanilla versus chocolate ice cream. But people who are informed and sane and well-intentioned cannot disagree about whether or not it is okay to dismember an unborn child. If you know what an unborn child is, and if you know what abortion is, and if you are still pro-choice, then quite simply, you are a monster. Not everyone who is pro-choice, however, is a monster. Many people are pro-choice by default because they do not know better. Their brains have been turned to porridge by their schools and the media. Our Lord pleaded for such as them from the cross. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And for as much as the lucrative big abortion industry likes to prattle on about choice, in fact, many women are coaxed into this crime, which is so contrary to every fiber of a mother's nature. If we are to believe the shocking statistics, then it is likely that just about everyone knows a woman whose life has been affected by abortion. And in that case, her sin, like any sin, can be healed. And in that case, being pro-life also means helping these women to find healing. The Sacred Heart is the reservoir of every mercy. Many of those who describe themselves as pro-choice change their mind once they finally learn the truth. But let us not hide behind a false civility. Not everyone is simply ignorant. Some people are evil. Presidents who say things like abortion is healthcare, or Planned Parenthood executives who line their pockets with blood money, or doctors who betray the Hippocratic Oath by murdering innocent babies, or self-proclaimed Catholics who have betrayed their faith for political power, people like this are dangerous psychopaths. But even for them, there is hope, which is why we do not give up our prayers. And praise be to God, year after year, more and more of these mercenaries of the culture of death are waking up to reality, and many of them become ardent apostles for the culture of life. They are the St. Pauls of our own day. Devotion to the Sacred Heart has always included as an essential element the practice of reparation. That is another reason it is so fitting that our merciful Savior has chosen today, the Feast of the Sacred Heart, for this important victory. As individuals and as a nation, we must do penance. As we say in the act of reparation, which is recited on this feast, we wish to make amends for the public crimes of nations who resist the rights and authority of the Church which thou hast founded. Please God, may we not waste this wake-up call, which may be our last, and may our nation seek refuge in your Sacred Heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.